4, Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 12. This is the word of the Lord. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits. Then he led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000, and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000, and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through. For the water had risen, it was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Eglayim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord in heaven, open our hearts that we may hear, receive what you speak to us from there. We ask in the name of your Son. Amen. In the fullness of time, the Son of Man was lifted up upon a cross. And after he had breathed his last, his side was pierced with a spear. And at once there came out blood and water. Blood and water flowed from his side. Now the body of our Lord Jesus Christ is the true temple As it is written, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. And again, as he himself said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And so we may understand that this vision of Ezekiel has been fulfilled in the body of our Lord. What did Ezekiel see? He saw a temple upon a very high mountain, and water flowed from its side. And that water which flowed from its side brought healing and life. And we see this very thing in the body of our Lord lifted up. Water flowed from his side. And that water which flows from his side brings healing and life. This river of the water of life, it flows from the heart of Christ. The one who was washed by it need never bathe again. The one who drinks it shall never thirst again. This water satisfies the soul that is thirsty. It heals the heart that is broken. It cleanses whatever is defiled. Whatever it enters is healed. Wherever it goes, everything will live. We see this in those trees that grow along the river's banks. These trees that are firmly planted by its side. They flourish in a way that no other tree may flourish. Their leaves do not wither. Their fruit never fails. And not only do they yield their fruit in its season, they yield their fruit in every season. They bear fresh fruit every month. For they drink from the water that flows from the sanctuary. And so their fruit is for food, and their leaves for healing. And so it is with those who live by the water that flows from Christ's side. Like trees, they are firmly planted in his house, watered by him. We flourish before him in a way that no one without him may ever flourish. Watered by him, we do not wither. Watered by him, we bear fruit in every season. And that fruit is the fruit of his Spirit. It is fruit that does not fail. And as those trees are clothed in leaves that are for healing, So we are clothed in the grace of Christ, and that grace is for healing. For all who receive that grace from him, they are enabled to give that grace to others. As he has forgiven us, so we forgive others. As he is patient with us, so we are patient with others. As he is merciful to us, so we are merciful to others. As he is generous toward us, so we are generous toward others. As he is kind to us, so we are kind to others. Breathes grace upon us. And we breathe that grace in from him. Then we breathe it out upon others. As his spirit rests upon us and dwells within us, we bear its fruit. His grace is for healing. His spirit is for food. Blessed is the house where this grace is found. Blessed is the house where this food is given. What greater gift can we give to others? To husband, to wife, to child, to the stranger in our midst. What greater gift can we give them than the gift of Christ? To breathe upon them words of grace and peace. To feed them with the fruit of love and joy. What should we expect when we do not? When we breathe instead words that are harsh, words that are full of anger. When we feed them instead with the fruit of bitterness and resentment. Shall they flourish? Or shall they wither? Shall their wounds be healed? Or shall they fester? As the water of life has flowed to us, as it flows within us, it must also flow from us. Is this not what our Lord said? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The church is not only the recipient of those waters. She She is not only the recipient of healing and life. It is God's purpose that she should also be a means of healing and life. As she is nourished in him, we are nourished in her. Ezekiel's vision of the temple is a vision of life as it will be in the kingdom of God. So it is a vision of life as it ought to be in the church of Christ. It is a life that may be summarized by this water that flows from the sanctuary and the altar. Remember what we were told at the end of Ezekiel chapter 46, that the priests were not to carry out of the holy places that food that was offered upon the altar. They were not to carry it out of the holy places, lest holiness be transmitted to the people. But even while that food was not to be carried out of the holy places, this water, it flows from the most holy place. So we may understand that this water flowing from the sanctuary, what does it do? It transmits to us the holiness of the sanctuary. And in this way, the water that flows from the sanctuary, it is meant to draw us into the sanctuary. Those waters that flow out of the sanctuary, they are meant to lead us into the sanctuary. Having been made holy by that water, we are led into the holy places, that we may eat the holy food that is offered on that holy altar. Is this not also what our Lord said? He spoke of his being lifted up. John chapter 12, verse 32. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. By the water that flows from the temple, by the water that flows from his side, we are drawn to the temple. We are drawn to him. We see this vision of life displayed for us in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The water that flows from the sanctuary, it is the water of baptism. And by that water, we are healed. By that water, we are cleansed. By that water, we are made holy. Where does the water lead us? It leads us, in the end, to the table of the Lord, where we are given the right to eat from it the food of the altar. this water that flows from Christ and draws us to Christ. The water of baptism brings us to the sanctuary that we may eat the food of the altar. The water that flows from Christ brings us to Christ, that having been washed by him, we may feed upon him. We have life from him, that we may have life in him. And we see this very vividly expressed in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 8. There we are told that this water that flows from the temple, the water flowing from the temple, it flows into the sea. We are told that when the water flows into the sea, the water of the sea will be healed. We are also told that life will then flourish within it, such that its fish will become like the fish of the great sea. And to understand this image, it helps us to know the identity of this sea into which the river of life flows, and the identity of the great sea to which it is compared. What is the great sea? The great sea was the sea that formed the western border of the land of promise. The great sea is what we call the Mediterranean Sea. What then is this sea to the east of the great sea? The sea into which the river of life flows is what we call the Dead Sea. And why do we call it the Dead Sea? We call it the Dead Sea because there is no life in it. No plants, no fish. There is no life in it. There is no life in it, because nothing can live in it. Its water is so salty that nothing can grow within it. That water cannot give life, it only brings death. In Ezekiel's vision, that sea is healed by the water that flows from the sanctuary. And what once could have no life will then flourish with life. That place, it becomes a place for the spreading of nets, that fishermen may catch from it an abundance of fish. And in this too, we see the life of the church. For the water that flows from Christ is for the life of the world. He has made us fishers of men, that a great many kinds may be brought and to his kingdom. Truly, wherever the river goes, everything will live. But there is one place the river does not go. In verse 11, we are told that the swamps and marshes will not be healed. We are told that they are to be left for salt. And so these swamps and marshes that are here left for salt, they form a strange contrast with the rest of the vision. For here we behold the mountain of the Lord standing in the midst of a new creation, with the temple of glory resting at its height. And from it flows a river that brings healing and life to that place and to all who dwell within it. Yet as we behold the glory of this mountain, as we behold the life nourished by it, we see in its shadow a place that is not healed, a place that does not flourish with life. A place that is left for salt. Why is it there? Why is it not healed? Why is it not made to live? Why is it left for death? Here also, catch a glimpse of the world to come. For that world will be made whole. That world will be made new. Life will flourish there. In that place, death will be no more. The life of that place will be sustained by the water that flows from our Lord. Like trees firmly planted, we will be clothed in his glory, ever bearing the fruit of his praise. And yet, even there, in the shadow of that heavenly mountain, there will be a place that is not healed. A place of darkness. A place of weeping. A place for the gnashing of teeth. A place of brimstone. A place of fire. A place of salt. A place of torment. Where the river does not flow. place to which the river will never flow. No one in that place will ever have their thirst quenched by its waters. How great is the thirst of that place. A thirst that will never be quenched. Truly, it is a place of horror. And yet, as every sacrifice is seasoned with salt, even that place will be for his praise. God will be glorified in heaven, and he will be glorified in hell. While then it is still day, let us heed the warning of these swamps and marshes that are left for salt. Let us heed the cry of our thirst for living waters. And let us heed the call of those waters. Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen.